Hello, hello everyone. How are you? Welcome back. Welcome back once again. Welcome to the Two Clever Mafia podcast. Not opinionated, just facts from my point of view. I'd like to say hi to AJ over in the sound booth. How are you today, AJ? Are you hanging in there and taking care of business over there?
I'm fine.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. Anything big, any big news happen over the weekend, AJ? Nothing, anything you want to talk about?
Nope.
Okay. As usual, a wonderful color commentary from AJ over in the sound booth. Okay. All right. So we have a great show. I just got back from the LA Auto Show, and unfortunately, I was lucky enough to be invited, but couldn't take AJ, unfortunately. I know. AJ had to stay here, but he survived. He survived. And so electric cars are all the rage these days, from Tesla and Elon Musk's Cybertruck to the little tiny Nissan Leaf, which I remember used to have these carports you plug into that had solar panels along the top of them. And they, years and years ago, they've been around for a while. And I was lucky enough, like I said, lucky enough to be invited. And I just saw some of the coolest electric cars, or EVs, as the a fancy person will say, I guess, at this auto show. And they had brands like Hyundai, the Hyundai 7 I saw, which was a crazy looking futuristic concept car with space for 7, hence the name 7. And you got 300 miles on a single charge. They had a Subaru. They had an EV called the Solterra, similar to, there was also a Toyota BZ4X. They kind of shared the similar platform. And a lot of EVs I saw were in that famous SUV style, which at present day accounts for half of all new car sales, right? Yeah, exactly. So SUVs obviously are all the rage, all of the focus, and gas prices, although they are going up and they are very expensive in some parts of the country, people still want the convenience, the all-wheel drive, the room that's in a lot of these SUVs. But most of these EVs will have an average starting price of around $40,000. And some I saw, which we'll get to, were over $100,000.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for an electric car, right? And most of them didn't get more than, 300 miles. So, or the advertised 300 miles. So there was a Porsche that I saw. There's a Porsche. It's a Cayman 718. It's a GT4 RS, I think. And it's going to give Tesla a run for its money because it's very, very popular. And it's going to bring Porsche back, which we'll talk about also in a little bit. But it a somewhat high starting price, around $80,000. But it gives the elite who really wants to get into the EV market or get on the EV train, it gives them some real cushy seats to sit in. And I also saw, surprisingly, there were a lot of EVs by a lot of new companies I saw. So there's a lot of companies trying to get in on this action, which you usually don't see too much in the auto market, or you haven't over the years. You got a couple big players, and then here and there you'll get one or two that try to have a breakout automobile of some sort. But there was a lot of new players. One I saw was VinFast out of Vietnam, a company out of Vietnam. They had a VF35 and a VF36 were their models. Pretty neat little automobile. You can check all these out. Mullen Automotive was another company I saw, their company out of Los Angeles, and they had their Mullen 5. Mullen 5 was the name of their ship. And look all these up, because there's some really futuristic and cool-looking cars. You can check them out on the internet, I'm sure. There's a company called Edison Future, and their EF1 electric pickup truck, and they had an EF1 delivery van. I guess it's going to take maybe try to get into the Amazon delivery truck market. That was a pretty neat little thing. And then there's one company called Bremark with a kind of like a Land Rover-esque SUV. It's out of Europe, but I think they have an outpost in Southern California. It's also a company. I don't, for some reason I couldn't pronounce this. I think it's Bility. It's Bility electric. And it's a new company out of Culver City. They also had a kind of a unique three-wheeled mini delivery van. So if you picture kind of the postal trucks, but with three wheels, you know, one in the front, two in the back, also maybe making a run for one day, the government trucks or delivery van for smaller areas. Also a company called Canoe. It was spelled K-A-N-O-O. They made several different EV models. And my favorite one that I saw, and there was a lot of cars, not just EV cars there, but my favorite one that I saw was the Edison Future and their EF1 electric pickup truck. And I'm trying to explain it. It looked like it had an armadillo skin over the back of a pickup truck. So from the cab on down to the back of the bed, it had armadillo skin. So layered like four or five different sections that actually retracted and went back and forth, and you could put things underneath it. But on the top, they were actually solar panels. And I could be wrong on the exact numbers here, because I was really in awe by this car, and I took some notes. But the panels, they say, will give you roughly 100 miles with an 8-hour charge in the sun. So if you're going back and forth to, let's say, an office, or if anybody even goes to the office anymore, going back and forth to work or on a trip, you can pretty much cover your commute getting the solar power charge just, you know, by leaving your car in the parking lot, you know, if it's a clear, sunny day. So some really, really, they're real beauties there. I got to say, there were some real beauties there at the car show, and dozens and dozens of EV makers trying to make a name for themselves and get into the auto market. This is the part of the show where I begin my rant. So if you enjoyed the past few minutes and you enjoyed my happy talk and how much I did enjoy the show overall, this is where it's going to end. This is where it's going to end. But first, we're going to get into a quick reminder. We want you to be part of our show, and you can join the discussion and be part of the show, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or just send us an old-fashioned email. You can check out the show description notes for all of the details and how to be part of our show. So, most EV makers, electric vehicle makers, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, are not going to be successful. They're going to fail. And whether it be to bankruptcy, whether it be to restructuring, whether it just be the corporate takeover, and hear me out, because this is, I feel, kind of what happened to the DeLorean, if you remember. They were around for about 7 years. You remember the car from Back to the Future? A lot of companies do fail. I mean, you have Packard, an old car manufacturer, Pontiac, Saturn, Oldsmobile, Studebaker, Mercury, Plymouth, and all of those and the like. And most of them, I think the oldest one out of that group was probably Oldsmobile, which was like 107 years. Pontiac was around for about 84. Saturn, short-lived, 25. And they all had their unique thing. Like, I remember the Saturn had their doors that were, I guess, I don't know if they were plastic or what they were made of, but they really were no dent doors, but they would crack if you got into an accident. you know, we've all heard of Mercury and Plymouth. They lasted the same amount of time. They were subsidiaries, about 73 years or so. And Pontiac got 84 years. So, and the fact that many car companies that are out today are, based on analyst research, considered to be failing, whether it be for sales loss, whether it be for just market share or just overall debt on what they owe. Like Audi, they lost, their sales are down 15%. Volkswagen has had poor sales for some time. They were caught in a scandal where they weren't really being honest with customers. I think it had to do with gas mileage, to be honest. I'm not really 100% sure on that. Don't quote me on that one. And Subaru sales are down over the 15% loss. Mitsubishi, Chrysler, their losses are in the billions, which are Chrysler and Fiat, and even Porsche. So, I mean, although Porsche is making some waves with their new EV that I just spoke about a moment ago, but even Porsche really needs the EV market to take off for them. So their overall sales are not doing all that great, and they're just not, people aren't buying their cars at the end of the day. And maybe some of these new car companies, these new EV companies, will get gobbled up if they're lucky. Maybe that's their plan. Who knows? Maybe they'll get bought by a big conglomerate like Ford, Chevy, or Honda and be rebranded and reworked. For a lot of these companies, I think that might actually be their goal. And they want their tech to be bought up by bigger companies, and then they cash in and move on. That's their plan. So would you say the EV car revolution has begun and nothing is going to stop it? I mean, is that the position a lot of people take after going to the auto show and talking to people in the industry? I'm going to say that is 100% wrong. And I'll explain. I don't know why anyone is not talking about this. I haven't heard this anywhere. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places, because I really was, I questioned a couple of people when I was out there, and they, first off, at best, an electric vehicle gets 300 miles on a full charge. Actually, some get more than advertised. So, which isn't a horrible thing, because some cars get around that, right? But either way, so you'll either need to stop and get a charge, which takes a long time. When you're on a longer journey or longer trip, you know, you're running on empty. You can't just make that last trip to work. You got to stop and you got to charge your car. And you got to hope that along your route, you come across a charging station, which they're not, I see them here and there, but they're not, you know, they're not in the most convenient places. They're also not a lot, you know, they're just not that available yet. I mean, I guess you can call the auto club if you run out of a charge on the side of the road, and then they come out with a gas powered generator and charge you up. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, right. I mean, that's ironic. It's funny, but it also poses a few serious, you'll say, questions or problems, right? I mean, how do we plan? The first problem is, how do we plan on charging all these vehicles? Now, for convenience, I could see eventually some sort of battery swap, possibly, and, you know, at what we call now gasoline stations in this country, in the U.S., eventually we would need charging stations to replace the revenue also lost from gasoline sales, unless gasoline just continues to rise. Solar power technology needs to evolve, and it needs to evolve quickly to charge these EVs while you drive, like the Edison version that I saw that I was talking about earlier that had the solar panel on the back, the Armadillo solar panel. But it needs to evolve, and it needs to evolve quickly to charge our EV vehicles. And most in the tech world will tell you, and that I spoke with a lot of folks at these conventions, and the biggest issue they're up against now, and the tech world as a whole, is the battery technology. And the battery technology is so far behind the demands of today's modern electronics and the EV vehicles, this will ultimately limit the distance and the capability that these cars can, you know, potentially have and how far they can travel. And this is something that I would imagine will eventually be fixed by tweaking the current power usage, just like they do with everything else in electronics. They come out with processors that use less power, and in turn, it will give you more mileage or more use out of these EV vehicles. But my iPhone, and this was something that I was just mulling over with AJ before the show, but my iPhone barely lasts a full day. And the iPhones have been out since 2007. And I don't know if they lasted a full day back then. I don't think they did from what I remember. But that's almost 15 years the iPhone and the phone industry has had to fix or figure out the battery power of an iPhone. And actually flip phones, if you remember, they used last a few days. So the iPhone came out, it's been almost 15 years, and they still cannot make an iPhone last more than one day.
That's nuts.
Yeah, right. So that if you really figure that out, it just doesn't add up. So that's a big problem. That's my problem number one. My problem number two is these charging stations that you might have seen or may not have seen. I don't know. But here's my concern that I don't hear anybody talking about. Where are we going to put all these charging stations? If you live in a bad weather region with a little sun and you need the sun to charge up using your solar power or solar panels that you have, or you live in a rural area and you need to travel long distance, you know, 300 miles is not going to cut it. You know, you could do that an easy round trip to a food store if you lived out in rural America. So if you live in an urban area, which is also now large parts of the population live, and you live in an apartment, a condo, a townhouse, or a high-rise complex that you see in these big cities, where do you charge your car? Or better yet, where are you going to park your car? So is the idea that not everybody has a car anymore? And, you know, where most parking lots that I have seen in big cities, we'll just start with the apartment complexes, there is almost always a shortage of spaces. And you go to visit a relative that lives in a development or a community, there's not enough parking spaces. There's never enough parking spaces because they pack everybody in like sardines, and they have, you know, there's no place to go. So where do you park your EV, and then where do you charge your EV if you're visiting, you're going somewhere? How does this, I don't know how it's going to all work. And then who pays for the charging? And have you seen the public parking stations? If you've come across any and you've seen, they're massive. They're bigger than gas pumps.
That's great.
No, it's not great. It's not great because what happens is, where are you going to put these? You can't, I mean, I guess you can have multiple wires hooked up to these things, but it's going to take up so much room. And they are, you know, I see them in outlet malls. You know, they're always most, I mean, they have the Tesla. If you've ever seen these before, they are, some of them are Tesla branded. So you'll see a circle, they look almost like an oval, and they'll have the red and white, the ones I've seen. And they have a Tesla branding on them. And then there's other ones that don't have the Tesla branding. But from what I understand, if you have a Tesla and you have to use another one, you need like an adapter piece. And then with that adapter piece, you still have to pay. And then you have to pay, where Teslas are free. This is just so complex. And it just gets there's so many questions I have about this. And the spots I saw just recently, I went to one of these malls and I see gas powered cars parked in spots that were designed to charge a Tesla, because they had like a dozen Tesla spots, and then they had like maybe four non-Tesla charging stations, like parking spots. And then, you know, they had gas powered cars parking there because they couldn't find parking spaces anywhere else.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, I believe it. It's there. And And yeah, AJ, you can hold off on the commentary, all right? You're getting a little overboard here. Okay. So, and here's my third problem. Here's where my third problem comes in. My third problem is the EVs use a lot of power. They use a lot of power from the electric grid when they're charging. And it takes a long time. There's a lot of electricity that has to be pumped into these batteries on these EVs, and which in most places in the, across the country, they're all, these power grids are already working at their peak performance or over peak capacity as far as how much electricity they can dish out. And I know in my area, there was a big to-do. They wanted to upgrade the power lines and make these huge, huge, massive, you know, supersized power lines, you know, large, like, I don't know, 50 feet in the air, 100 feet in the air type ones. And I know the towns around, everybody rejected it because it was just going to be an eyesore and they were worried about health concerns and, you know, all the eminent domain. They were going to take over people's properties. That's probably was the biggest thing. And they shot it down from the electric. But, you know, and they did that, I think, actually, I think that started possibly after Superstorm Sandy because they wanted to say, oh, we got to upgrade the electric grid so this stuff doesn't happen. But the reality is more and more people are moving into these places and we're packing them in apartments and condos. There's more people living in the square mile. They need more power per square mile. And these older power grids that are, you know, 50 plus years old, that they the wires and the infrastructure can't handle that capacity. You know, and these wooden power poles, they can't handle the weight of some of these this capacity. So a lot of us now are working from home, right? We're using our computers. We're dealing with across the country, people are dealing with heat waves and cold streaks, and this all drains on the power grid. And the power plants are just not able to put out the demand that is needed, right? So this is a big problem for mass adoption of EVs. And down the road, maybe this could be a viable solution when electricity needs have been properly attended to and can be met, you know, at the levels and expanding levels. But I just don't see a lot of these companies surviving with the current power grid and the EV charging infrastructure that's non-existent. I don't see how these they're going to sell enough vehicles to make it profitable to go into production. And I mean, sure, if you have a home and you have a garage and you can and you have a piece of property and you can afford to plug your car in overnight, and you know you don't travel super long distances, and maybe an EV is a great option for you. You get some great tax breaks, I think, from the government. But I don't think for the vast majority of folks, this will be an option. Especially, like I said earlier, this will not be an option for people that live in the big cities. Now, 80% of the U.S. population live in an urban area, a big city. Most big cities have little, if you've ever traveled anywhere, you'll know that they have little to no parking, or it costs an arm and a leg to even park a car for a few hours, let alone store it in a garage. If you live there, some places have underground parking and you got to pay extra per month just if you own a vehicle. When I visited LA, and not this recent trip, but when I visited LA, I rented a tiny little car. I think it was a Nissan Sentra because it was the cheapest car they had. And I thought to myself, why do I need an expensive car? I was what I was doing on the trip. I forget why I was out there. Some business, I don't know. And when I'd give my keys to the valet at the hotel, first of all, I had to pay $25 a day just to have a car at the hotel, which I thought was strange. And then I had to, because I wasn't used to that, I didn't have to do that on the East Coast. And then I had to obviously tip the valet and I had to give them my keys so they can go park the car because there was no on-site garage. And I stayed, it was a pretty decent hotel I stayed at. So I'd give the keys to the valet. And I think they parked it several blocks away. And I don't know where, maybe in a lot, maybe on the side of the street, who knows? Wasn't my car, didn't really care. But when I wanted to get the car and when I was leaving, I had to give them like 25 minutes notice when I was leaving and they would go get my car and have it up front. Now I had to wait. A couple of times I wasn't planning on leaving out and I had to run out. I got a phone call and had to, you know, go somewhere. I had to run downstairs in the hotel, go to the valet, and wherever that lot was, the valet ran to the lot, and I don't know. It must have been far away. Then they came back and got my car. Now, granted, maybe that was because it was a cheap little car and they didn't want it to be seen in front of their posh hotel, which is probably what happened. And I don't know. I wasn't, I guess, a big tipper. I don't know. But I noticed there was this gentleman who had a Ferrari and it was always parked right out front. And it was convenient for him because he would come in and he'd hop in the car and he would go. So you be the judge. You be the judge. So the fourth and last problem I'm going to talk about today is the long-term environmental impact. And the long-term environmental impact on an electric vehicle, in my opinion, is far worse than the impact of gas-powered ones. Now, hear me out. I'll explain why. In a dozen years, we are going to have millions of EV batteries contaminating our landfills, and we're going to have to find a way to dispose of these if they don't come up with some sort of recyclable option, along with the crazy notion that we are not using fossil fuels by using an EV, which is complete nonsense, because when you plug in these EVs in most of the country, the power is coming from coal, oil, natural gas power plants. That's where it's coming from. Like I said earlier, these plants are already overburdened and they can barely handle the current demand. So power plants which use more fossil fuels will need to be built. More power plants, more fossil fuel usage. So you can kind of see how the endless cycle begins. So I'm going to close with this. A long time ago, my grandmother, may she rest in peace, used to say, don't be penny wise. She used to say, unclever. She said, I'll preface it by that. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. So in other words, be careful not to be economical in just the small matters while being wasteful or extravagant with the larger ones. So this big idea to go green with EVs, the electric vehicle, I don't say it's a bad idea, but I feel like all of the effort, at least in my lifetime, which who knows how long that'll be, is going to be a big waste. I think it's going to be a big waste of taxpayers' money. I think it's creating a drive, kind of like a drive-in movie infrastructure. Those of who remember the drive-in movie, right? You drove in, you put a little speaker, you tuned to a radio station, and you sat in a parking lot. Some of them had poles where they had the little speakers on them. Another was just parking spots with a big movie theater. And then somewhere in the back was a concession stand where you'd get out and get your concessions, right? But I feel like this is creating a drive-in movie infrastructure, because all of the drive-in movies eventually, people wanted this high quality sound and they wanted a more comfortable, you know, temperature controlled environment as opposed to be sitting in your car. And, you know, they wanted a high def screen that you can see. Now they have the recliners that you have in these movie theaters, right? And it was all a waste. And now a lot of those spots where they were drive-in movie theaters, they put regular movie theaters, which are also going to be struggling with the streaming, and they've all lost, you know, who knows what's going to be next for that. But I feel like eventually this is going to be wasted land. It's going to be wasted land before long. And hey, maybe some of these little EV makers will take their money. Like I said earlier, they'll just take their money and run. What do you think, AJ? You think they'll take their money and run before it's too late?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that sums it all up, doesn't it? That sums everything pretty much in a nutshell. And I don't know. It was a fun trip. A lot of nice new technology. that I enjoyed. So you want to ask a question in a future episode of the Two Clever Mafia podcast, do you? Click the link below in the show notes to record your question in a voicemail. And I, as always, I want to thank everyone for listening to our show. You can check us out on www.twocleveremafia.com, and you can join us on all the social medias by following us at T-O-O Clever Mafia. I am Clever Mafia. This is the Two Clever Mafia podcast, and that is all I have to say about that. Bye-bye for now, and take care of one another.